In the steppes of Eurasia, there are different peoples of Turkic, Mongolian, and Manchurian origin. They live cattle breeding, the main value here, not the land, but herds of cattle, mainly horses, whose number can reach several thousand head in one family. You can't live in one place with herds like this because cattle eat all the grass around them, so people move with their herds to new fields where you can graze cattle. They are constantly moving from place to place, so this farm is called nomadic. Nomads are good warriors. Each of them learns to ride and shoot a bow from childhood. Harsh life in the steppe taught them to endure thirst, hunger, and cold easily, and traditional values instilled both bravery and discipline at the same time. The armies of nomads, called hordes, were once the best and surpassed most of the armies of settled civilizations. However, the horde armies exhausted their strength in constant wars between nomads, and therefore, for a long time, they did not pose a threat to their neighbors. Temujin had a difficult youth. After the death of his father, Yisuge Bagatur, he lost all inheritance. He lived in poverty with his brothers and was even a slave for some time. However, he managed to escape slavery and gather his small army. At the age of 15, Temujin married Berta, the daughter of Kande II, and with his father-in-law's army, he began to unite the Mongol tribes under his leadership. It took him almost 30 years to achieve this. Through negotiations and sometimes war, he subjugated Mongolian and Turkic tribes. In 1206, at the Kurultai, the assembly of Khans, Temujin was given the title of Chinggis Khan, Great Khan, under which he would enter history. Chinggis Khan reformed the army. He had a favorite tactic. Mongols sent a vanguard that attacked the enemy, pretended to lose and retreat. The enemy began pursuit and fell into a trap when the rest of the Mongols surrounded them. With this tactic, the Mongols were victorious throughout their conquests. Chinggis Khan also introduced the first code of laws in Mongol history and created a network of postal departments in the steppe, which expedited the transmission of Khan's decrees. All of this strengthened the Mongol army and allowed them to engage in land conquests. The first to be hit were the Tanguts from the Western Xia state. Chinggis Khan conducted 5 campaigns against them. In open field battles, the Mongols easily defeated the enemy, but during the siege of settlements, they faced difficulties, so they couldn't capture the cities. There was an incident when the Mongols tried to flood the Tangut capital, but due to engineering errors, they flooded their own camp. In 1210, without waiting for a new campaign, the Tanguts themselves offered to come under the rule of Chinggis Khan. Meanwhile, in the neighboring Jin Empire, a political crisis erupted. Power was seized by the usurper Xing Sheng. The Jin Empire itself consisted of Jurchen nomads who not long ago conquered northern China and ruled there. This caused numerous conflicts within the empire. Using the pretext of the usurper's rise to power, Chinggis Khan declared war on the Jurchens. Chinggis Khan assembled an army and penetrated through the Yehuling Mountains. Against him emerged an army 4 times larger under the command of the emperor's brother, Hushahu. He trapped the Mongols in the mountains, but did not dare to engage them in battle. Then Chinggis Khan sent a detachment under the command of Jebe to outflank the Jurchens. The Jin army fell into encirclement, and the Mongols routed its separate units, which sought refuge in fortresses. In 3 months of fighting, the Jurchens lost almost 300,000 soldiers. Afterward, Jebe, Chinggis Khan's commander, went east, where he captured and plundered the eastern capital of the empire, Dongjin, and also persuaded the Khitan tribes to join the Mongols, declaring themselves independent. In 1213, Chinggis Khan again attacked the Jin Empire and besieged its capital. The new emperor decided not to send troops to the battlefield, so the Jin army mainly hid behind the city walls. Then, the Mongols began to plunder and burn villages. This caused mass uprisings among the Chinese. The Uyghurs even switched sides to the Mongols. Therefore, after a year, the emperor himself offered peace to Chinggis Khan and promised to pay tribute. However, he did not fulfill this promise, and then the Mongols attacked Jin again, captured and eventually burned its capital. After this, the emperor paid tribute to the Mongols. Next in line were the Karakitai tribes. As early as 1208, Khan Kuchlug tried to unite these tribes, but only managed to start a prolonged civil war. The Mongols took advantage of this, and in 1216, Jebe, with 20,000 soldiers, invaded the lands of the Karakitai. Quickly defeating their armies, he captured and executed Kuchlug and incorporated the conquered tribes into the Mongol Empire. Chinggis Khan dreamed of a campaign to the west and quickly found a pretext for war. When the Mongols conquered the Karakitai, their defeated armies fled to the Khwarazm, where they hired themselves to serve Shah Muhammad II. In 1218, Chinggis Khan sent envoys to him demanding the surrender of the Mongol fugitives. Muhammad II not only refused, but also executed the envoys, accusing them of espionage. In response, Chinggis Khan declared war. Muhammad II did not bring his armies into the field, believing that the Mongols would not be able to take the cities and would therefore return home. However, by then, there were many Chinese engineers in Chinggis Khan's army who knew how to build siege machines. For 2 years, the Mongols successfully captured cities in Khwarazm, and in 1220, they captured the largest city, Samarkand. The Shah, who then retreated with his army, unwilling to be captured, fled to the island of Oghurjali, where the Khwarazmians banished those afflicted with leprosy. There he died the same year. Jebe and Subutai, two commanders of Chinggis Khan, with 20,000 soldiers, sought the Khwarazmian Shah. To avoid returning empty-handed, they captured and plundered Tabriz, and then, upon learning that neighboring Georgia was suffering from internal conflicts, attacked it. In the battle on the Kunan River, using their usual tactics, the Mongols defeated the Georgian army and then crossed the Caucasus and began a war with the Alin tribes. Jebe and Subutai persuaded the Kipchaks to join them. With their help, they defeated the Alans, and then started a war against the Kipchaks themselves. The latter fled west and asked for help from the Rus. The Rus princes assembled a significant army, led by Prince Mustislav the Bold of Galicia, united with the Kipchaks under Khan Khotan, and marched against the Mongols. The two armies met on the banks of the Khalkha River. Before the battle, Jebe sent envoys to the Rus princes, but they executed the envoys again on charges of espionage. Using their favorite tactic, the Mongols defeated the allied armies of Rus and Kipchaks. A new civil war broke out in Rus, and the Kipchaks fled west and settled in Hungary. After this, Jebe and Subutai finally began to return home. Along the way, they attacked Volga, Bulgaria. Despite the Bulgars killing Jebe, they still suffered defeat in the Battle of Samara Bend, and their capital was destroyed. Subutai also managed to annex the Bashkirs to the Mongol Empire, with which he returned to Chinggis Khan. At the time when Jebe and Subutai went west, in Ghazni, the son of Shah Muhammad II, Jalal al-Din, led resistance against the Mongols. Using the mountains as a hideout, he resorted to guerrilla tactics. Eventually, Chinggis Khan sent his adopted brother Shigi Kutuku with 30,000 troops to the Khwarazm. Jalal al-Din lured the Mongols into a mountain pass in Parwan, set up an ambush, and defeated them. Shigi Kutuku escaped, while Jalal al-Din became a national hero and managed to reclaim significant territories of Khwarazm. However, soon Chinggis Khan himself appeared against him with the entire Mongol army. The Khwarazmians retreated until the Mongols pushed them into the Indus River. Then Jalal al-Din decided to give battle, which ended in failure for his army. Now Jalal al-Din himself was forced to flee the battlefield. With the remnants of his army, he captured several Indian principalities, and in 1223 he attempted to reclaim Khwarazm, but suffered defeat. After this, he marched with his army to the Middle East, where he became one of the most famous mercenaries in history. During the war with the Khwarazm against the Mongols, the subjugated Tanguts revolted. Chinggis Khan had no opportunity to suppress the rebellion for a long time, and only set out on a campaign against the Tanguts in 1226. This campaign turned out to be fatal for him. During the siege of Xingqing, Genghis Khan fell from his horse and died. Despite the death of the great Khan, the Mongols captured Zhongxing and slaughtered all its inhabitants, and shortly thereafter, they exterminated the entire Tangut people. His empire was divided among his four sons from his first wife, Berta. Among them, Ogedê became the new great Khan. Ogedê was not as talented as his father. Moreover, he had problems with alcohol. His brothers did not want to obey him. To boost his authority, Ogedê began the conquest of China. He sent the Mongols on a campaign against the Jin Empire, where they suffered defeat in the Battle of Dashangyuan. Then, Ogedê summoned the talented commander Subutai, and he went on another campaign. The Jurchens learned to fight the Mongols, and no longer fell for their tactics. They defeated Subutai twice in the Battle of Daohuigu. Eventually, Ogedê formed an alliance with the Sun Empire, and with their help, began to conquer northern China, spending 3 years on it. He also established protectors over eastern Lao. Parallel to this, in order to achieve some success, Ogedê decided to start a war with Goryeo. He sent an envoy, but he communicated arrogantly and rudely with the Korean ruler, the king, so he was executed. Using this as a pretext, Ogedê declared war on Goryeo. The campaign of 10,000 Mongols was led by the commander Saritai. The Mongols' progress was slow, and the Koreans fought bravely, holding the cities until the end. And despite the defeat of the Korean king's army in the Battle of Anju, the rest of the Koreans did not cease resistance. The Mongols quickly concluded a formal peace treaty and left empty-handed. The next year, Saritai invaded Goryeo again. The Koreans again put up desperate resistance. In response, the Mongols began to burn and destroy all the cities they could capture. But when Saritai was killed in an ambush, the Mongols returned home empty-handed again. Overall, Ogedê conducted 3 campaigns in Goryeo and still could not conquer it. After Ogedê's death, the Mongols made 6 more campaigns and still could not conquer Goryeo. Only in 1270 did the Korean king agree to surrender to the Mongols, unwilling to continue the war. However, his own guard, the so-called 3 Separate Corps, rebelled against him. They held part of Korean territory for another 3 years, repelling Mongol attacks. The most successful conquests turned out to be those in the west by the grandson of Genghis Khan from another son and the son of another brother, Jochi Batu Khan. From his father, Jochi, he inherited the Golden Horde, a state on the banks of the Volga. With 40,000 troops prepared, he sought the assistance of Subutai, who devised the entire plan for the Western campaign. Subutai decided to wage war in winter, which was not customary in Europe, so the Mongol attack came unexpectedly. Moreover, the frozen rivers ceased to be obstacles and allowed the Mongol army to move quickly. In the autumn of 1237, Batu set out on a campaign. He defeated the Ryazan army on the Voronezh River, and after a 6-day siege, captured and destroyed Ryazan. After that, Batu moved on to the Vladimir Suzdal Principality. The Mongols met with their army near Kolomna and defeated it. The Mongols ravaged the entire principality, burning cities. Here, they were intercepted by the Ryazan voivode Evpati Kolovrat. He waged guerrilla warfare and held Batu for 2 weeks. Only Subutai's military ingenuity helped the Mongols surround the voivode and put an end to him. The Mongols reached the city of Torzhok, after which they were overtaken by spring floods, and they had to return to the steppes. Batu was planning to go on a new campaign, but in the summer of 1238, the Kipchaks rebelled against him on the Don. They defeated the Mongols in several battles and seized the High Volga region. Batu had to ask for help from his cousins Mongke and Guyuk so that they would provide troops to suppress the rebellion. It took 2 years for this. Only in the autumn of 1239 did the Mongol army march on Chernihiv. Despite capturing and burning it, the 3 Chinggisid brothers constantly quarreled among themselves. It got to the point that when the Mongols celebrated their victory, Guyuk, drunk, mocked Batu and almost started fighting with him. To avoid complicating the situation, Batu sent the brothers away, and in the autumn of 1240 began his third campaign against Rus. After a four-month siege of Kiev, the city fell to the Mongol assault. Angered by the fierce resistance of the Kievans, Batu ordered the city to be burned and all Kievans slaughtered. The fall of Kiev opened the way for him to the west. Next, Batu divided his army into three parts. One invaded Poland and burned and looted all the towns in its path, including stone castles. After that, they defeated the Polish-German army at Legnica. The second went to the Danube and drove out the local Kipchaks from the steppes, who once fled from the Mongols after the defeat at the Kalka. They also plundered and burned the cities of the local principalities there. And the third, led by Batu himself, invaded Hungary. The Mongols defeated the Hungarian army at the Sajo River and then captured and burned the Hungarian capital, Buda, after which they began to plunder the rest of Hungary. At the end of 1241, Batu learned about the death of his uncle, Ögöde. Fearing that his son Gulyuk, his sworn enemy, would become the new great Khan, Batu quickly returned to the Volga and began to gather troops. His fears came true, and most of the Mongol Khans supported Gulyuk. However, against him, Chinggis Khan's brother, Temuga, stood up. The Mongol Empire fell into civil war for 4 years, in which, through intrigue, Gulyuk emerged victorious and was elected Great Khan at the Kurultai in 1246. Batu did not attend the Kurultai, fearing for his life. Instead, he sent there a Rus governor, Prince Yaroslav II of Vladimir. And his fears were justified because the prince was poisoned there. So Batu began to prepare for war with Gulyuk. In 1248, Gulyuk, without waiting for Batu's attack, set out with his army for the Volga. However, he died under unclear circumstances almost immediately. Civil war broke out again in the Mongol Empire. Now it raged among the various grandsons of Chinggis Khan, of whom there were several dozen. Batu stood aside and did not interfere in the war. He decided that it was better to separate the Golden Horde from the Mongol Empire and proclaimed himself Great Khan in 1250. Meanwhile, in Mongolia itself, power was seized by Khan Munke. To maintain power, he killed all the sons of Ögöde and most of the sons of Chagatai, and he divided the empire among his brothers. Wishing to raise his authority, he sent Kublai to conquer Dali, which he successfully did, and on the way established a protectorate over Tibet. However, not through war, but through negotiations. Kublai showed diplomatic talent and persuaded the rulers of Tibet and Dali to give all power to the Mongols. Then, Munke sent Ulagu to the Middle East. He set out on a campaign with 70,000 troops. In 1256, the Mongols captured Alamut, the capital of the Ismailite state, which became famous in history for its hired killers, the assassins. The next year, Ulagu captured Azerbaijan, and a year later, Baghdad. Thus, he arranged a massacre, reportedly killing up to 200,000 residents of the city. Among the dead was the Islamic Caliph, the religious leader of the Muslims. This caused a religious crisis in the Middle East. Ulagu went on, capturing Aleppo and Damascus. He invaded Palestine. However, in 1259, when he learned of the death of his brother Munke, he left the army and returned to the steppe to divide the inheritance. Meanwhile, the Mongols, left without a Khan, clashed with the Egyptian army of the Mamluks, led by the talented military leader Sultan Qutuz. Both armies met near the spring of Ain Jalut. The Mamluks, using Mongol tactics of feigned retreat and luring the enemy into an ambush, managed to defeat the Mongols themselves and save Egypt from invasion. After Munke's death, the situation in the Mongol Empire became catastrophic. Kublai and Arikboka started the third civil war in the empire's history. Khan Ulagu, unwilling to participate in the war, took for himself the newly conquered lands in the Middle East and declared his state, which would go down in history as the Ilkhanate. Chagatai's grandson, Ulgu Khan, who miraculously survived, regained the Chagatai Ulus for himself and proclaimed himself an independent ruler. In 1264, Kublai defeated Arikboka and imprisoned his brother. He also moved the capital to Khanbalik, modern-day Beijing. And 12 years later, he completely abandoned claims to the title of Great Khan, instead conquering southern China and declaring himself the Chinese emperor. Thus, Kublai initiated the Yuan dynasty. The mighty Mongol Empire, which became the second largest empire in the world, existed for only 70 years and fell apart from its own power when the descendants of Chinggis Khan fractured it with their own hands. A similar fate awaits the new Mongolian states. Due to constant infighting, they too will disintegrate into smaller khanates. However, it is worth acknowledging the mark that the Mongols left in history. They are remembered for establishing trade routes, religious tolerance towards conquered peoples, and the spread of technologies. The Great Silk Road flourished, and traders could travel from Europe to China, initiating the era of great geographical discoveries. Even today, many nations trace their history back to the Mongol Empire.